That was nice. 1 Samuel chapter 16. If you'll go to the Old Testament, if you're learning your Bible, the middle of the book is Psalms. Go to your left a few books and you will find 1 Samuel. It's in the part of the Bible that is called the historical book section. And a great, great book, 1 Samuel. If you're looking for some just good reading in your Bible, 1 Samuel is a great place to do it. Chapter 16, and we're going to be looking today at verses 6 and 7. And a little bit over in chapter 17, so I'll get you to keep your Bible open when we get there in just a little while. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. We're going to have the reading, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to enjoy a song and jump into the message. All right? Would you please join me on verse 7? Our Bible says in verse 6, "And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Let's pray together. Our God and Father, we thank you this morning for loving us, as we've already thanked you so many times today for loving us. We thank you again. We don't ever want to take that for granted, the fact that you love us and loved us enough to send your only Son. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Thank you for your great love. Bless, I pray, the preaching time this morning. I pray that our hearts will be hungry, ready to receive. I pray the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit of God will be on the place. That God, you'll speak to us. That God, you'll meet with us. You'll be in this room with us. And what an honor that would be. We call on you this morning and ask you for your help. Bless the good song that we're going to hear. And then prepare our hearts for the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Christ is making sinners free, full salvation giving. Whosoever will may come, none he will refuse. Therefore, that the lost may know, and with Christ believing, all the way.
Number 7 in our text today in 1 Samuel 16 at the very end of the verse where the Bible says, "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." I want to speak this morning on the subject of the exposed heart. The exposed heart. The Bible says that God looks on the heart. So let's talk a little bit today about the exposed heart. Okay? Dear Father, I pray that you'll please bless us in this moment, these moments as we look into your word. We need your help. Holy Spirit of God, would you please be on the service now? It is your. Without you, we won't accomplish much, if anything. And so we need you. We need that liberty that you give us, Lord, to be able to think and give our attention to your Word and let you work in our hearts. So help us this morning. Please guide my thoughts, my words, and help us to all enter into this together. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Now, when we talk about Christianity, there are several words that immediately come to mind. Words that are connected or associated with Christianity. Words like faith. Words like believe. Words like heaven. Words like salvation. Words like scriptures. And names, of course. I'm just talking about words. I'm even mentioning names now. I'm talking about words that we automatically think of when we start thinking about Christianity. Now, I want to spend, there's another one of those words at the end of verse number 7. In fact, the last word in verse number 7 is another word that is associated with Christianity, and that word is the word heart. The word heart. Now, that's been on my mind and heart for the last 2 or 3, 4 weeks, and I want to, if the Lord will let me, spend a few services on Sundays preaching on the heart, because there is much we can learn from it, much we can learn from the Bible about the matter of the heart. Now, let's understand, and I think you already know this, but let's just say it to be sure. Let's understand from the start that we are not talking about the physical heart, that muscle that is part of our circulatory system in our bodies that pumps the blood through our bodies. We're not talking about this muscle that's called the heart in our bodies. We are talking about what the Bible refers to when it uses the word heart. The heart is the very seat of a person. The heart is the core of a person. The heart is a reference to our thinking, our feelings, our choices, our decisions. Now, we're not unfamiliar with using the word heart in that way. When you tell your spouse, "I love you with all of my heart," you're not referring to that physical muscle that is pumping blood throughout your body. That's not what you're talking about. You know, I just love you with all of my heart. And if I could take my heart out and give it to you, that's not what you're talking about. If you could take your heart out, you'd die. That's what you do, all right? And so you need that. We're familiar with the word heart, okay? We take people into our heart. We don't put people into that physical muscle that pumps blood through our bodies. We're talking about our core person, our very inner being. Our heart is where we alone live. Our heart is where we alone live. And we can exhibit and display what is going on in our hearts, and I believe we do. Most of the time, according to the Bible, that's exhibited by what we say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Okay? There are other ways that our hearts can be displayed. But you know what? That is the only way others can know our hearts, is because we display them. If there was no way to display what's going on in our heart, nobody would know it, because my heart's where I go, and your heart's where you go, and my heart is who I am, and your heart is who you are. It's very private, isn't it? Very personal. So today, I want to take a look. When we start talking about the matter of the heart, I want to talk here from 1 Samuel chapter 16 about the exposed heart. The Lord looks on the heart. Now, I think you know the story, but just in case, Saul has been a disobedient king of Israel, and God told Samuel he's done. Okay? I've rejected him. And so now Samuel loved Saul. Samuel began to mourn, and it hurt him, and he wept. And God comes to Samuel. We won't look at it, but at the first of this chapter, chapter 16, God tells Samuel, he says, "Now, how long are you going to mourn for Saul?" He said, "You need to quit your crying, dry up your tears, because I have provided me a king among the sons of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. So I want you to get down to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, and I've got one of his boys down there that I prepared to be the next king." And so Samuel comes to Bethlehem. Now Samuel's the judge. He's the judge of Israel. His presence brought anxiety and fear to the people of the village of town when he walked in. They were all nervous. And he said, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I am come peaceably." And he called for the house of Jesse, and Jesse came. And he said, "Jesse, I need you to bring your boys." And so Jesse called his oldest son Eliab. And you can see Samuel's impression of Eliab in verse number 6. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab. Samuel looked on Eliab, and he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Lord, this has to be the son that you have prepared to be the next king of Israel. I mean, look at him. Look at his countenance and look at his stature. And that's not in there, but that's implied in there because of how God responded. And so by Eliab's physical presence, Samuel, who's just a man, he's moved to say, "This is it. This is the next king. This is it." I want you to look at God's response. God speaks to Samuel in verse number 7. And he says, "Samuel, don't look on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. My heart may be hidden from somebody that I don't know well. I think my wife knows my heart pretty well. But even my wife can't know all that's in my heart, just like the person closest to you can't know all that's in your heart. But there's one to whom it is completely exposed. And the Lord looks on our hearts." Now, that ought to give you a little bit of a start. It does me. I can't come past 1 Samuel 16, that verse, without it just kind of going, "The Lord looks on my heart. The Lord doesn't see as man sees. My heart is exposed." In fact, the writer, I believe it is, of the book of Hebrews, said that we are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That's the reference to God. What you and I can cover up and hide from each other, and even from those that we love the most, and those that we are the closest to on planet Earth, none of us can hide from the all-seeing eyes of God. Our heart is exposed. Now, in today's world, there's a big to-do about privacy, isn't there? Privacy laws, they apply to us at financial institutions. Privacy laws, there's privacy laws that apply concerning medical information. Sometimes, yeah, folks, let me just throw a little aside in here. If you, if you get admitted to one of our area hospitals or even another hospital in the extended area, and you're a member of this church, please tell them that you attend Faith Baptist Church, and even ask them, "Would you please let our church know that I'm in the hospital?" Because sometimes if we don't get a call from some of your relatives, people can be there 2 or 3 days, and it's the laws have all changed about that. And privacy, and I'm not against the privacy laws, that's fine. But, we'd love to come visit you and pray with you in the hospital. Sometimes it's comforting to have somebody come and just be there in the room, pray a little bit, ask God's blessing. And so, but we have privacy laws. We have privacy laws at home through our, not privacy laws, but we have privacy at home through our answering machines and caller ID. And don't anybody sanctimoniously look down your nose at caller ID. You know that all of us think that's a great invention. Amen. Caller ID. You know that. Voicemail. We don't have to answer the phone, Now, a big to-do in our country about the full body scans at the airport and, the x-ray machines and that kind of business. We were out in Buffalo coming back from Danny Gardner's ordination out there, and Buffalo was real close to Tonawanda, New York, where those 5 or 6 Arab men were found out trying to prepare an attack on some facility, some army base. And so because of that, Buffalo has those machines already. Chicago didn't have them, and the airport in Buffalo did. They were going to put my wife in one of those machines, and I spoke up, said she's not going in there, and they didn't pay attention to me. But she said, "I'm not going in there." And then she got taken, in his place and was wanted and all that. But that's been a big to-do in our country in the news lately. Everybody's concerned about privacy. And hey, that's one of the things that's so special about the heart. It's pretty private, isn't it? It's a pretty private place. Pretty private place, but not to God. And our hearts are fully exposed to the all-seeing eye of God. There's nothing private about our hearts as pertaining to God. And that's what God told Samuel here. He said, "Samuel, the Lord looks on the heart. Now, let me say two or three things this morning about this. First of all, let me say from this text, we learn that what God sees carries more weight than what man sees. What God sees carries more weight than what man sees. And once you look at verse number 7, He says, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance." Samuel could see Eliab, but he could only see what other humans could see. He could see Eliab's physical stature. He could see how tall he was, and maybe how muscular he was, and his countenance. And that's what caught Samuel's eye. Eliab's physical stature was known to God, but that did not carry the most weight with God. God knew how tall Eliab was. God knew how strong Eliab was. God knew his countenance. God saw it all. But those things didn't carry as much weight with God as what God saw in the heart. What God sees carries more weight than what man can see. What did carry the most weight with God is what only He could see. Now, by the way, let me just come aside here and say, if you're thinking that I'm going to come across and say from this pulpit that it makes no difference how you and I appear to men outwardly, you're going to wait a long time for me to say that. Because that's a bunch of bunk. The very fact that man can only see our outward appearance is all the more reason for us to be a testimony. So I'm not going there. And I know who I'm preaching to this morning, and the fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist crowd is pretty certain about that. But friends, sometimes our Achilles heel is we've got it all fixed up on the outside. Because we've learned to be right with what man can see. But I want to remind you this morning that what carries more weight with God. I'm glad if you've already crossed that threshold of learning how to appear so that men can take note of how you're dressed and your appearance and so forth as a testimony for God. But I'm going to tell you something. If we have reached that threshold and forgotten that what carries more weight is what's in our heart, we've made a big mistake. We made a huge mistake. Because what carried more weight with God was what He could see as opposed to what only man could see. But wait a minute now. What did carry most weight with God was what He could see. Now that does have an upside. You see, you might get refused by some here on earth because you are too this or too that. You know, you're too small, you're too tall, you're too heavy, you're too skinny. Or maybe, you know, you're not blessed with physical features that are very appealing to others. And I want to tell you this morning, that will never keep you from being used by God. Never. Never. The fact of the matter is, the man in our New Testament who was used greater than any other human outside of Jesus Christ, and I don't even refer to Jesus, he is the God-man, but the man in the New Testament who was used to do more for God, Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, he was physically weak. His speech was contemptible. His bodily presence was contemptible. He had infirmities in his flesh. Physically speaking, Saul had nothing going for him. But that didn't limit God from using him in a mighty way. Used him in an unbelievable way. He was not Mr. GQ dressed for success. He was not a trim and fit gym rat. And I'm not against those things. And I think it's important to us to give some attention to our health. And I'll say more about that in just a minute. But he just was not those things. He was physically a very, very weak human being. But that didn't keep God from using him because Saul, who became Paul, had a heart to serve God. That's what carries weight with God. Your heart. Your heart. Your heart. So while we got it all up on the outside, let's remember what God sees and what carries more weight with God. He looks on our hearts. Now, in Eliab's case, this had a downside. because God could see and did see into his heart. He had all the physical qualities, everything in place, but the part that God alone could see had a flaw. I think we see a little bit of that flaw exposed in chapter 17 and verse number 28. It's just the next page over in your Bible. So look at chapter 17. In chapter 17, you've got David and Goliath, okay? And so here this great battle is about to take place between David and the giant. Eliab, David's brother, is already at the battlefront. He's at the battle site when David's daddy sends David down to check on the brothers. And so David comes strolling into the camp of Israel. I'm shortening the story for time's sake. He hears this giant thunder out. Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of a Jewish man. You know, I mean, that type of thing. And David said, man, what's this nonsense? He said, what is this? I want you to look at verse number 28, what Eliab said. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. Talking about David. And watch this. Eliab's anger was kindled against David. So we see one thing there that we find in Eliab's heart. He was full of anger. And he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? We see that also there was ugliness in his heart. You know what he was talking? He was talking down to David. Wasn't he? Hey, little boy. Hey, you got a little job of keeping those, you know, those 9 or 10 sheep out in the wilderness. Who'd you leave those 9 or 10 sheep with? What are you doing down here? You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he's demeaning. He's ugly. He's angry. He's angry. He's ugly. He's demeaning. Read on here. And with whom that? I know thy pride. You do. Oh, you do, Eliab? You know David's pride? Wow. So you know it, huh? Yeah, you know, I think there's a Bible verse in the New Testament. I think Jesus spake the words. He said something like this, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if I think everybody and their brother is full of pride, what does that mean? Right. If I think everybody and their brother is unfriendly, what does that mean? I'm unfriendly. What that means? So here he's got unfriendly. He's got this haughty spirit. He's got this demeaning spirit. He's got this angry spirit. All of these things, prideful spirit. And all of a sudden, in a very tense moment, his heart is exposed, and God lets you and me see a little bit of what God had seen in the previous chapter. So he looked down at Eliab's heart and he said, look, I know how tall he is. I know how sharp he looks and his countenance, man, his muscular build. He looks like a gym rat, man. But I'm going to tell you something. I see something that only I can see. Now, friend, do you understand? This is a great reason for you and me to keep our hearts in a good condition with God. You know, there is a huge emphasis on the look of the body in our day and age. There's a huge emphasis on the physical. And again, I am not saying let your health go. And I'm not saying quit caring how you look. But you look at all the emphasis in the world on how we look. Let me ask you a question. I mean, look to others. Are we to spend time and money and effort and thought into how we look physically and never take thought or time to address the condition of our hearts? And if we kept a log of time on a 7-day course, 7 days, and just kept a time log on the amount of time we put into our physical being and even our physical appearance, and measure that. To the time invested in what God sees, I think it would startle us. I'm not against putting time and effort, and if you need to, some money, into how we present ourselves physically. But my goodness, look, friend, I don't think the problem today is that we are concentrating so much on the spiritual that we're neglecting the physical. I don't think that's the issue. I think in too many cases, 99 to 100% of the emphasis is on the physical and nothing is being done about the condition of the heart. And that's where God looks first. Give some attention to it. Give some time to the condition of your heart. You know, isn't that part of the purpose of exercise and good nutrition to help the heart? If you think that you may be having heart trouble physically, don't you change immediately and, man, fix this diet and start this exercise. And I mean, because this is serious. It's my heart. You know what? It's pretty serious. The part of our being that God can see that nobody else can see. It would behoove you and me to give some thought to that. Amen? Give some time to it. Think about it. Some attention to it. What God sees carries more weight than what man sees. He told that to Samuel here in this verse. Now I want you to notice a second thing in this verse. Let's go back to chapter 16 and verse number 7. I want you to see that what God sees in our heart determines what He does with us. What God sees in our heart determines what He does with us. He said in verse number 7, I have refused him. Again, it was not based on Eliab's physical stature or his physical presentation. It was based on what God knew about his heart. I have refused him. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been refused? Have you ever been denied? If I could get, you know, if I could, I remember when Joyce and I were first married, we were first starting out, we didn't have hardly anything, you know. And I got a credit card application for a Discover card. I think it was a Discover card from Sears. It was one of those where you had to pay the balance off at the end of the month. And so I thought, you know, this will be a safe thing to do and build some credit. And all the mindset that was back then, it still is, you know. So I applied for that, whatever card it was, and they sent me a letter back saying I was denied. That frosted me. I can't tell you how many applications I've received in the mail from Sears since that day. You know what they go? Where they go? In the trash cans. They could send me a thing that said, I mean, just, you know, I don't even open it. You say, you're carrying a grudge. You got it. That I'm going to against Sears until the day that Jesus comes for me, right? Stinkers rejected me like that, man. You ever been turned down for a job? You ever been refused by a loan officer? You ever been turned down for a date? Were you turned down for a date? Oh, boy. You remember when you told me no? Yeah? We had just started, man. I thought, this is great. And the guy had tipped me off and said, she's interested. Talks a lot about you. This is all. I mean, the little Christmas cards had already been extended to each other, shared with each other. And the first sit-by date in the college chapel in the overflow room in the old cafeteria had taken place. And now, man, it was all, my heart was all aflutter. And come Sunday, for some reason, it was a snowstorm or something. It was in January of 77, and we didn't run the buses. I got back from Chicago earlier than usual on Sunday afternoon, walked into the auditorium, and there she sat, all by herself. And so I conveniently made my way down to the pew in front of where she was sitting and began to talk to her a little bit and said, hey, and I thought, here, this is it. Let's grab the ball and run. I said, hey, how about sitting together tonight? She said, I can't. Or she said, no, or something. And I kept my smile on my face, you know. But inside I was thinking, what in the world is happening? And for a few fleeting moments, my whole world was crumbling. Everything was just falling apart. And I thought, this is unbelievable. I mean, you can't just 3 days ago have 4 or 5 days ago. And just finally she said, I'm sorry, but I've already promised to sit with Charlie Williams tonight. Charlie Williams. Some of you folks may remember Charlie Williams. But then she said, but I would really rather sit with you. All right, game on. Here we go, all right? We line it up for the next week. Yes, sir. It was, y'all remember that story Brother Don told here years ago about his situation? He was there in one of those classes or something. He had got to talk to this woman, invited her for a date, and she said, I can't, I'm sorry, I'm married.
get it right. And then I forget all that happened, but he was sitting in junior church or something. This guy started talking about some dope head asked my wife out for a date. And then it got worse. He was sitting with a buddy, or sitting with Pam, I guess, your sister. And he looked up, and here came the man with his wife to sit in the pew. And so Brother Don made a quick exit. Amen. He put two and two together. Oh, no, I'm the dope, okay? Oh, my goodness. You ever been rejected, refused? We can laugh about some of that stuff now, friend, but I want to tell you something. Nobody likes rejection when you get down to it. But the worst kind of rejection and the worst kind of refusal would be the kind that Eliab experienced. God refused him based on what was in his heart. They did. God said no. Now, evidently, from those things we saw in his heart in 1 Samuel 17, those things caused God to refuse him, that anger. By the way, I think you might get a little insight on why he was angry when you read earlier in the chapter where the Bible says that those soldiers, which included Eliab, were greatly afraid of Goliath. And here came this young man, 17 years of age, and saying, God will take care of that giant. And Eliab got angry because he was guilty that he didn't have the courage. Pride, ugliness. Let me ask you a question. You ever wonder why you can't get over the hump? You ever stop and wonder why can't I get over the hump spiritually? Now, wait a minute. Nobody reaches the place in their spiritual walk where you can just put that thing on cruise control and sail on without any kind of effort. Nobody gets to that place, friend. When I'm talking about this, some of you have, maybe there's some people here just never have gotten over the hump. Just never have gotten to that place of victory. Never have gotten to that place where you feel like God's with you and using you. Let me ask you a question. Have you done a heart check? Do you have a heart filled with anger? Do you have a heart filled with bitterness? I heard Brother Gellis preached on bitterness last Sunday night. It was a great message. There's lust run unchecked in your heart, the wrong kind of lust? Do you struggle with pride? Do you struggle with jealousy? Is there an old envious spirit in your heart? You see, all of these things, people, can prevent the child of God from having victory, from going on with spiritual progress, bringing on God's blessing. And they can cause God to refuse to bless us like He wants to. What God sees determines what He does with us. Now let me say number three this morning in the form of a question. What does God see? You see, I searched a little bit in the Word of God. You never find Eliab. There is no record of Eliab ever seeking God's help for his heart condition. There is no record of him ever getting along with God and saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Eliab never prayed a prayer like that, but you know somebody who did. It was the one that God chose. And that's why God chose David and refused Eliab. Eliab never took the time, he never took the care to stop long enough to say, God, what is in my heart? What do you see? You say, didn't God already know what was in David's heart when he prayed, search me, O God, and know me? Of course God already knew what was in David's heart. It was not for God to know, it was for David to know. So David could deal with it and get it cleaned up and get it confessed and get it made right. Let me ask you, Christian brother or sister this morning, do you know what God sees in your heart? I don't know. Have you asked Him? Have you asked Him? God, what do you see in me? What do you see in me, God? You say, well, I think I know my heart pretty good, Brother Angel. I'm sorry, friend, but I don't know mine and you don't know yours. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, horrible, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I can't know my heart. You can't know your heart. But He does, and He can look and say, this is what's in there, and this is what's in there. God, please look into my heart. Tell me what you see. Now, are you ready for this? When you do go to Him in prayer like that, when you are alone in the car, when you are alone by yourself in a quiet time before God, and sincerely you ask Him, God, show me what's in my heart. You better be prepared, friend, for sometimes it's not pretty. It's not pretty. God begins to put His finger on things. The great thing about it is, friend, that God will forgive and God will cleanse and God will fix our hearts. But you and me, we have to ask Him. We have to say with David, Father, here is the searchlight. Here is the spotlight for my heart. Take it. My heart's exposed to You. Now, God, show me what You see. And be ready to receive it. I knew that I was going to finish up with messages on the Christian home. I started it 3 or 4 weeks ago. Lord, where should I go next? Do you want me just to go week by week? Or is there a subject you want me to tend to? And this got on my heart. Preaching on the heart. And I remember asking the Lord, God, what is in my heart? The last 2 or 3 weeks, God has shown me what's in my heart. It hasn't been very enjoyable. Sometimes the flaw is revealed in private conversation with people you love. And when you've asked God to reveal your heart to you, Lord, show me what's in my heart, in private conversation with somebody you love, something is mentioned, the Spirit of God goes... I'm sorry, folks. You know, I just got saved too late to be all caught up in this warm and fuzzy stuff that everybody seems to want these days. I remember reading in the Bible how people mourned before God and wept, and how the revivals in years gone by weren't built on warm and fuzzy laughter. It'd make me feel good, tickle my ear. Those revivals were birthed in the mourner's bench. We're so far from that in our Christianity today. It's all about feel good. Because everything in our world is about feel good. And I'm going to tell you something. When you turn your heart over to God and say, it's exposed to you already, tell me what's in there, it's not going to feel good. Sometimes it's in a pulpit message. Sometimes it's from a lectern in a classroom. Sometimes it's from the pages of a good Bible-based book. In a private conversation with a loved one in the last 2 weeks of my life, God revealed to me some things that He already knew were in my heart. And then I started rereading Charles Spurgeon's tremendous classic book called Lectures to My Students. I've been reading that for a couple months now, just a few pages at a time. And boy, reading that book on a specific day in the past 7 days, God used those words to reveal to me my heart. Not a pretty picture. Oh, God, help me. Help me. Help me. Y'all with me this morning? I'm trying to be as transparent as I can to you, friend. Because we've got it all together. with the physical appearance. And I think that's wonderful. I think it's important. But I'm going to tell you something. If we have neglected the part that carries the most weight with God, we've made a huge mistake. Our dependency on Him, our love for Him, things that He puts His finger on and says, that's not right and that's not right. The exposed heart. Maybe this morning, you know, you need to just get on your knees, if not here, somewhere, and just say, Lord, I do want my heart to be right with You. And I want to be in a place where You can bless me. I don't want to live my life always refused based on what's in my heart that shouldn't be there. So take my heart, God. It's exposed to You. Expose it to me and deal with it. Amen. Because the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looks on the outward appearance. But the Lord looks on the heart. Let me tell you one thing, friend, in closing this morning, where you will never be refused. And that is if you had never been born into God's family by faith through grace, by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you come to Jesus Christ as a sinner, confessing the fact that you are a sinner before God, you reach out and you embrace the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as your only hope for heaven. God never refuses a sinner that does that. Never. But when you get saved and you start trying to live for God, and there's always just seems to be a barrier. A barrier. Our souls dry up. Our souls get dusty. We keep going through the motions with things in our heart that are preventing the dew of heaven from falling on us. I don't want to live a life refused. I don't do that because of something that was in my heart that I never took the time to find out. God, what's in my heart? You understand what I'm saying this morning? Amen. Let's really get with it, folks. Let's look inside this morning. But you're going to have the Holy Spirit's help to do it. It may not be pretty, but deal with it. Get right with God. Walk with Him. Enjoy that fresh dew and that fresh anointing. Let God just fill your soul again. Get that junk out of there that keeps God from refusing us. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening today. I trust the Lord will use the message in our hearts. I really do. Before we have the invitation, let me ask this morning, who would say, Pastor, I listened carefully in the Spirit of God, slipped by the pew where I sit, and spoke to me this morning about something very definite, specific, along the matter of my heart. Pray for me. I heard, I listened, and now God spoke to me. Would you lift your hand this morning all over the room? Yes, 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 yes. Thank you. Take your hands down. I appreciate that. I wonder this morning if there's somebody that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. You said God would not refuse a sinner who needs to be saved. Now, I don't know that I'm saved. I'd like to know that heaven is my eternal home someday. And I don't know that I'm in that condition to go there when I die. Pray for me. I would love to do that this morning. If you just raise your hand quietly in the air, put it up and right back down. Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that this morning? Not sure that I'm saved. All right, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now, maybe this morning there's some folks who came to follow the Lord and believers' baptism. If that's so, if you came to be baptized, you can come out right now while people's heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We can start the process and get you ready. Maybe you've never been baptized and you know it's a thing that you need to be obedient to. You need to come and talk to one of these men about it. If you know that this is the place that God wants you to join and be a member, you've talked with us about it. One of us on staff. You come. If not, you can make an appointment to talk to one of us. We'll be glad to do that, as we have some appointments that are pending right now. But the bigger thing this morning is just our hearts, the condition of our heart before God. In that sincere request, Lord, show me my heart. And the journey that you begin with the Holy Spirit after you've prayed that prayer and after you've asked God to show you your heart, as God begins to reveal it, take it. And before God, confess it as sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, thank God, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's keep our hearts in a condition where we won't live a life refused. A life of blessing, refused. A life of victory, refused. A life of usefulness, refused. Oh, nobody wants to live like that. Let's be right with God. Is thy heart right with God this morning? Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Dear Father, would you please bless the invitation? Thank you for those that have already knelt and prayed. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. Help us, oh God, to be right with you in Jesus' name. Ladies, would you play us a song of invitation? Now's the time. If you raised your hand, would you come this morning? Would you let the Spirit of God start the process? Right down here would be a good place to pray, Lord. Show me my heart. Show me my heart. Show me what's in there. He already knows. Just ask Him over the time, the next several days. Show me my heart, Lord.